column 30 minutes of unspeakable crap.
Never mind about 30 minutes of unspeakable crap. Cheap bargain basement jingles. And if you've tuned in for 30 minutes of nasty vile filth, you can tune away again because I've reformed. I've become a nice, wholesome, caring, sharing sort of a guy. I like the simple pleasures in life now. There's nothing I like better than going down to the park and watching all the nice, cute little children shouting and jumping up and down and running about in all directions. Well, I mean, how can they know I'm not firing blanks? Oh dear, I feel myself transmuting to a 1940s detective movie. Oh, I'm going all wobbly, 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 wobbly.
Yep, it was one of those shot of days. I was sitting in my office talking to myself, the usual slump.
Yep, it was one of those shot of days. I was slumped over my desk in my office. The curtains were drawn, but the furniture was real. The local drugstore had run out of sound effects of someone knocking at my door, so I had to do it myself.
Knock, 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 knock. Come in.
Hi.
My God.
Hi.
Then a broad walked into the room.
That's
I could feel the temperature rise like someone had left the furnace door open. She looked like she'd been poured into her dress and forgot to say when. I asked her why she was here.
She was here. Okay, why are you here, doll?
Because I need a dick and people tell me you're the best dick in L.A.
I'll bet you aren't the best dick you've ever had. What's the problem, babe?
Apart from your terrible accent?
Yep.
I went to bed with a man last night and when I woke up this morning I had a stiff on my hands.
Not the first or the last time that's happened. Let's begin at the beginning. Name?
Sarah Lee.
Middle name?
Vic Spiderbeck.
Vic Spiderbeck.
My mother had an extensive collection of 78 records.
Hey, I may not know much about music, but I can tell you that 78 records is not an extensive collection. But
what?
Listen to this crap.
What?
Suddenly we stopped talking and noticed the music accompanying the sketch.
My God, I've never heard such badly out-of-tune saxophone playing.
That's true, it's crap.
That's dreadful.
The sax playing was so bad, it meant one thing only. It was being performed by one of those talentless creeps in an all-women's band. Those great, butch, dykey, bearded, lesbian feminists with Van Gogh's hair for music, they make me sick.
Dreadful.
They make me sick.
God.
It's not as bad as
they make me sick.
Can't do the accent.
I know.
They make me sick.
I know you did not go to Rada.
A little later, and with a better script in my hands.
When you're feeling glum, stick of a... Do you know, it's a peculiar thing. I can almost guarantee that the phone's going to ring before I finish this... sentence. It's almost Coastlerian. In many ways, not unconnected with the fact that I control the sound effect disc. Hello?
Darling Victor already.
Oh, it's Mr. Eugenie. Hello, Mr. Eugenie.
I'm going to make you a star.
Make you a star?
I'm going to make
it
you
It is my
star.
Agent, Mr. Eugenie.
Star. I'm going to make
it's
you a...
It's a funny thing, but you sound just like Dr. Dreyfus.
Maybe, but you know why?
Why?
I told you, my boy, because it won't work on your voice characterizations. That's why.
Oh, dear. I suppose that's true.
You can't make a career on four voices. I've
that's
told
true.
You. Now, listen.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Zamboo-boo Lane?
Zamboo-boo
Lane.
Mr. Eugenie tells me that I've been asked to appear on a forthcoming telethon.
Zamboo-boo Lane.
Victor, I'm telling you, you've been asked to appear on a forthcoming telethon.
Oh, a forthcoming telethon?
That's
that
right.
That would be good for the image, won't
good.
It, eh?
Great.
That would be good for the image, won't it, eh?
Be great.
Quick, Mr. Tripley, switch on the television set. I'm going to be doing good for humanity. I'm going to be doing good for humanity. Do you hear me?
Later that evening, I switch on the television and view my heart-rending charity performance on the telethon.
Switch on the television set now. There I am. There I am. My public will love me, Mrs. Tripley. My public will love me. They'll love me.
I've been asked to do a telethon, which suits me down to the ground. It's a load of free publicity, and it will make me sound like a caring, sharing person, when in fact I really don't care about the starving and the dying in Zamboo-boo Land, because they don't flog my records out there. We are the stars who appear on telethons. We spray ammonia in our eyes to make them fill up with tears. We look concerned. We use sincerity. It's just a chance to get on the box and save our flagging careers.
All right, let's go for a take. Give me lovely smiley little black baby on the head, Victor.
Oh, I don't like doing this. I might catch something. Anyway, you said it was hungry. It doesn't look hungry to me. Look at the size of its stomach. It's massive. It's too bloody bone-idle to brush the flies out of its eyes as well.
I suppose. All right, well, lunch break, everybody.
Yeah, well, what shall I do with this black baby?
Oh, throw it in the bin. We'll get another one later.
All right, what, in the bin just like that?
Every 20 seconds, a starlet dressed in mink presents a 6-foot check with a company's name written on it in fluorescent ink. It is blatant advertising, it's vulgar and it's crude, but it's great for the TV company when its franchise is reviewed. I am a sham, I am a fraud. In private life, I beat my wife, I've got a lot to hide. I lie, I cheat, my life's one long deceit. But put me on a telethon and I am beatified. I'm a saint, I'm a saint.
I go off to Rome to be beatified.
I go off to Rome to be beatified.
This involves me wearing makeup and a wig.
But unfortunately, because of a misunderstanding, I find myself being beautified and walking the streets of Rome in makeup and fishnet tights and high-heeled shoes. And frankly, I thoroughly enjoy it.
As I return to my luxury York penthouse flat, I notice my next-door neighbour effecting repairs to the front of his house.
Dr. Dreyfus, FRCS, CBMITHGFT, and M&M's already subscribed.
M&M's?
Dr. Dreyfus. As I move closer, I realize that Dr. Dreyfus, Britain's only one-fingered gynecologist, is removing the letterbox from his front door, sealing up the slit, and replacing it with a large knob which has a pendulous 7-inch clapper attached.
Hey, Timothy, Dr. Dreyfus, you appear to be giving your front door a sex change.
Can I help it if my transvestite schmuck at the front door suddenly decides to tell me it's ACDC already?
Well, Mrs. Dreyfus tells me that you're a bit of a cross-dresser yourself.
Me, a cross-dresser? I tell you, when I put my trousers on back to front first thing in the morning, not just cross, I'm a furious dresser. So ask me what sort of day I've had. Ask.
All right, what sort of day have you had?
Don't ask. Have I suffered? Have I suffered?
Have you suffered?
No, but my wife, Mrs. Dreyfus, she has suffered. Complaining, always complaining, nagging to me, fix things around the house. Today she said to me, she said, Hyman, she said, I want you to...
Herman? I didn't know your name was Herman.
Hyman, H-Y-M-E-N, she says to me, Hyman, how many Jewish mothers does it take to change a light bulb so soon? How many Jewish mothers?
How many?
Don't worry about me, she says, I'll just sit here in the dark.
Congratulations on a splendid punchline, Dr. Dreyfus. Splendid.
And my brother, Maury, has he suffered?
Isn't Maury the trombonist in the orchestra?
Trombonist in the Goldest Green Sinfonietta, no less. Last month they gave a concert in the Twin Town.
Twin Town? Where's that?
Treblinka. Guest conductor, Andre Previn, oy vey, but that man is such a terrible musician. Terrible, I say, he cannot tell his brass from his oboe. Anyway, my brother Maury keeps arguing with Previn at rehearsals. Eventually, Previn can't stand it. He takes out a gun and he shoots my brother Maury. He shoots my brother Maury with his gun.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. Was he badly injured?
Not injured. He was dead.
Oh.
Previn was put on trial, sentenced to death by electrocution. 2 days later, they strapped the schmuck into the electric chair, through the switch. You know what happens? You know what happens?
No idea, Dr. Dreyfus. What happens?
Nothing, I tell you, nothing. He doesn't die.
Nothing.
So they check the fuses, and they're okay. Then they throw the switch again, still nothing. Five times they try to electrocute him, but they can't. You know why? Do you know why?
Why can't they electrocute Andre Previn, Dr. Dreyfus?
Because he's such a bad conductor.
Right, the music's coming off.
What?
That's shit. I've never heard a punchline like it. Your Jewish accent was the worst it's ever been.
What?
Go Wawa.
I can't go Wawa, so I lent my Wawa machine to take sick this week. How about instead a salt beef tape wine on rye with a side order of hot potato knish?
With pickled green tomatoes, please.
Pickled green tomatoes.
I'm a bit of a kosher coder.
No,
lovely,
Pass me the phone, Tribler. I'm going to Lash.
All right. Sounded all right to me.
Good afternoon, Macy's, Herald
Square
operator.
Hello, indeed. Good morning to you.
How can I help you?
Right, to you. Yes, I'm phoning from Scotland, in England. Do you know Scotland, England?
Of course I do.
I wondered if you could possibly put me through. I want to require a job. Yours is the largest department store, I understand, in the entire United States of America.
How may I help you? Looking for a job, you say?
I'm looking for a job. What's it like working there? Is it all right, or is it crap?
Let me give you someone that can give you more information. Go ahead, sir.
Personnel.
I'm sure. Can you hear me? Hello?
You have to speak a little louder.
All right, then. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Right. I've had an incident, bit of trouble with my job. I had an incident with a cabinet minister in a lavatory. I think you would probably understand. You had some trouble with the Watergate affair some years ago, didn't you, with buggers?
Yes, sir. What are you calling about?
Well, I was just going to say that was the problem that I had. It means something different here, but it leads to the same sort of problem, deep water.
Mm-hmm.
In short, and I do mean short, dear, I'm looking for an opening.
You want a position?
Oh,
hello.
I wonder what. I wonder what, dear.
You want to come here for a position?
Oh, word! No, that wasn't what I was after. I just want a job.
Okay, right.
Sorry, no, it's just I know my voice is exciting to some people. I have a master's degree in shop soiling sales. Shop soiling. Some places have sales where they sell shop soiled goods. My job is the night before they have the shop soiled goods sale, is to spend the night in the department store, having Jimmy Riddle on the duvets and gobbing on the Draylon sweets, and sort of like flicking bogies on the curtains and all that sort of stuff. Even wiping doggy jobbies on the Persian rugs, and I do that the night before. Do you understand?
Yes. Okay.
So that you have a lot of goods that are then thoroughly soiled and sellable.
Okay, I can get someone for you to speak to. Hold on. Edie? Sir?
Hello?
Are you looking for an executive position?
That is correct.
Okay, I'm going to transfer you to executive personnel. Hold on. Executive personnel.
That's executive personnel, is it?
Hi.
I wish I were.
Okay, this is executive personnel. I'm not clear what you're calling for.
Right. Well, I explained it to the girl already. The fact is I get smashed out of my bonts on special brew, and then I piss all over the furniture.
Okay. I'm not sure you're calling the right area.
Okay. I'll do it in any area, dear. Any area at all.
I'm sorry.
You see, it's such a specialised job. Do you know Peter Langan at all?
No, I don't.
No, he trained. I was trained by him, really. I think that's the best way to describe it. It's not just pissing, it's being sick, too, all over the furniture, the pianos and the rest of it. And you sell the furniture and the rest of it for a lower price, although I think you still make a profit.
Oh, okay.
So we do a lot of it in Scotland, actually, although we don't necessarily do it to make any profit. We just do it in the street. Sort of a bit like action painting. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You know action painting? Popular in the 60s, what we do is we do all this on the street and then we cycle around it.
Okay.
Mm.
I think I know what you're talking about, but
I just don't
know the proper person that you should be speaking with.
Do you think I stand a chance of a job? I won't beat about the bush, knowing what I do.
You seem to be all right.
Anyway, thank you very much indeed for your support,
welcome.
For your support, your love, and your friendship.
Good luck.
And thank you very much indeed.
Okay.
Mm.
Bye-bye.
Pardon? I'll use this French recipe book instead. Something with eggs, I think, beaten until stiff. Just how Magnus Pike likes it. And some butter. Just a knob. That's how Magnus liked it as well. Last Tango in Paris was his favourite film. Anyway, let's see. It says omelette. Oh, no, I don't want an omelette. That's too small. I want something bigger. I think I want an om. Oh, dear. I better be careful. Last time I said that in Paris, I couldn't walk for a week. Oh, they're all mad in Paris. Even the fish are insane. Anyway, it says, take 6 eggs and crack into bowl. There's 1. Good Lord. 2. Heavens. 3. How strange. 4. 5. Look. 6. This is most peculiar. What? 6 little fetuses staring up at me from my mixing bowl. I don't understand. It says, take 6 eggs. Oh, I see. Take 6 eggs. My resident popular singing group have appeared this week in embryonic form. I shall have to incubate them rapidly in the microwave. Here goes. A couple of seconds should do it. Voila. Hello, boys. You've grown. Pity about the feathers on the beaks, eh?
Tweet,
man. Anyway, what deeply religious bilge you're going to sing for us this week?
We're
going to
sing Milky White Way.
Milky White Way.
Yeah.
Right, boys. Well, here's your starting note on Dr. Dreyfus's wah-wah machine.
Child, I'm going to walk. Well, I'm gonna walk on earth and take my stand.
when we reach that promised land, where we walk, walk that milky white way, oh child, one of these days.
One of these days.
Child, I'm gonna meet,
going to meet,
oh, meet God the Father,
going to meet,
God the Son,
God and the Son.
And God the Son,
going to meet,
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 going to meet, going to meet,
going to meet,
going to meet,
going to meet,
going to meet,
when I'm gonna meet,
going to meet,
going to meet,
going to meet, going to meet,
going to meet,
God and the Son.
There's nothing there. See the Father,
going to meet,
and God,
going to meet,
the Son,
going to meet,
I'm going to meet,
I'm going to meet,
going to
meet,
I'm
going to meet,
going to see my mighty God,
going to meet,
and the Son who died for me, when I get to heaven.
I'm glad that's over. And by the way, have you noticed something, boys?
Yeah. No audience response.
No audience response.
That's right. There ain't no audience response.
That's right.
You know why?
Why?
No,
why?
No, no, well, I'll tell you. Because there's no need.
What?
I've read all about your filthy private lives in National Enquirer.
Hey,
apparently, the lot of you have had claps so often it amounts to applause.
What?
It amounts to applause. You can hardly believe this, listeners, but in private life, I'm a deeply unfunny person, really. Anyway, you've all got clap, and since this is a clean, wholesome family programme, you're all sacked.
Now, suddenly, and for no readily apparent reason, I split into four and become
the Marx Brothers.
The Marx Brothers, the cigar smoking Groucho, the heel wielding Harpo, Italian wisecracking Chico, and the fat funny one with the comic beard and the eight volume manifesto, Karl Marx. As we reenact a classic scene from a previously unreleased film, the hilarious Nothing to Lose But Your Chains.
Possession of private property is illegal.
Illegal? I thought that was a sick boy.
Call that a sick boy? I'll show you a sick boy.
But that is a picture of the Soviet leader.
It's a Sonic. Between you and me, he's the sickest boy I ever saw.
But that is irrelevant to the workers' struggle.
That's not irrelevant. Irrelevance began to grey with a long trunk.
Something has occurred to me.
What's that, boss?
You don't sound like Chico.
Well, you know something else? You don't sound like Carl.
Yeah, and I sure don't sound like Groucho.
You know something? The only one who sounds like he's supposed to is Harpo, and he is on the sound effects record. thought.
So, boss, you reckon we ain't going to become a regular characters on this program?
Not unless he improves. He cannot do the voices. There's something wrong with his attitude.
It ain't his attitude, it's my attitude.
Hey, boss, all these puns are giving me migraine, you know?
Right, a migraine.
Migraine, your grain, that is a fundamental problem. It is the proletariat who owns the grain and the means of production.
But I've even started imitating the tape wise now because I'm bored. Where's the waiter got to? I'm starving.
Not off. All right, stay tight. Not
I
off.
I like it when you say, all right, stay tight.
Hello there. Not off.
I like it when you go, hello there.
Not
hello
off.
Very good.
One of the pleasures of doing this series is that whenever I'm in London, I can enjoy lunch in the company of other Radio 1 intellectuals. They, Simon Bates, Alan Freeman, and I are in Langan's Brasserie, where the house speciality is the flambé. For some reason, the waiter is slow to serve us.
Not off.
Cars, it really is. But anyway, there's the bloody waiter. Waiter, waiter. We've been waiting here for over an hour.
Yes, sir, I'm afraid I intentionally forgot about your... perhaps I would order quickly. There are other more important guests to attend to.
All right, well, I've got it written down here.
Mm-hmm.
Right, menu can't reveal ourselves and fork and L's.
God, I didn't think I heard you correctly, sir.
Sorry, I have to make myself clearer. Right. Menu can't reveal our souls and four quinelles, please.
And four quinelles, I see, sir. On behalf of management, may I extend my congratulations on yet another gratuitously obscene double entendre slipped into the script. Very well done.
I suffer from dyslexia.
No, you don't suffer from dyslexia.
Don't I, boys?
No,
I suffer from dyslexia.
No, you don't.
I do, I suffer from dyslexia. Suffer from dyslexia.
No, you don't.
Thrown out of Langan's, my thoughts turn to sinological repasts.
About this point of the programme, with depressing regularity, I read out the bit where I say I'm feeling somewhat peckish.
About this point of the programme, with depressing regularity, I read out the bit where I say I'm feeling somewhat peckish and in need of sustenance. I usually visit my local fish restaurant because I'm on a seafood diet. I see food, I eat it. I call it comedy, the critics call it a disgrace, the public stop listening to my programme, I make no money, I turn to crime, I get caught, I beg for mercy, they hang me, they cut my body down and distribute the bits to the dogs. The dogs eat me up, I turn to excrement, and I'm deposited on the pavement. Somebody steps in me, it is the director general of the BBC, he carries me on his shoe into broadcasting house, a producer doing science now notices me on his shoe, he does a feature about me, the public like it, I get my own series, I am shit, but I am a star, nothing has changed, okay, I'm going to do what the doctor says, I'm going to lie down now, I can smell burning rubber, I don't eat properly, I crave for Chinese food, I crave for Chinese food,
I crave.
Good evening, Mr. Lao Tzu. Oh dear, I see you're limping rather heavily. Is there something wrong?
Oh, I'm not well.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'd like an ice cream sundae with raspberry sauce, if you'd be so kind.
Oh, you're
thank you very much. Do you have crushed nuts at all?
Oh, no, I don't have crushed nuts. It's arthritis, you know.
Don't have crushed nuts, it's arthritis. Oh, no, Mr. Lao Tzu, you misunderstand me. Almost, I suspect, in a desperate attempt to inject humour into this part of the programme. I think that's the case, isn't it?
I'll tell you a funny thing, you know.
You don't know about that, but you'll tell me a funny thing, yes.
Oh, the Bible says
in the Bible it says God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because the people were wicked. Well, we all know what people in Sodom were doing, yes.
Oh, dear.
The gentlemen were interfering with other gentlemen's trading entrances, yes. But what were the people in Gomorrah doing? That's a point. It must have been filthy because you often read about sodomites in the newspapers, but not even George Gale will say what Gomorrahites do to each other. That's absolutely right, Mr. Lartsey. Once more, you have removed the enamel from my teeth with your potent theological musings. You have... You tell me another funny thing, Mr. Lao Tzu, yes. When you get onto an intercity train, yes. There's a little hammer above each of the big windows, yes. With a sign saying, in case of emergency, use hammer to break window, yes. But they put the hammer behind glass so people can't steal it, yes. But you need the hammer to break the glass to get the hammer to break the window. That's absolutely right, Mr. Lartu. Not funny, but absolutely right. Incidentally, has anyone ever told you you serve the finest selection of Chinese cuisine in the north of England? Has anybody?
Yeah,
they never will. There's as much chance of anyone suggesting that your food is the finest Chinese cuisine in the north of England as there is Bonnie Langford becoming Professor Emeritus in Advanced Comparative Deconstructionist Psychophilological Analysis at the Sorbonne in Paris. Have I seen Fast Forward magazine? No. Your food is the finest Chinese cuisine in the north of England.
After an appallingly unfunny previous scene, I feel the need for a little manly relaxation, so decide to visit my local massage parlour where a friendly masseur manipulates away the stiffness in my coccyx.
That's a lot better. What a pity that the gutter press give these places such a sordid reputation.
Yes, dear, the rotten ones, they spoil it for the rest of us, they do, the rotten ones. They do.
It's true. I mean, look at all your diplomas on the wall.
I know, I studied day and night to get those. Mm. After all that work, people still treat me like I'm a common strumpet.
Shocking, it really is.
Do you want hand relief?
I beg your pardon?
I said, do you want hand relief?
Well, as it happens, yeah, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, do it yourself. I'll come back in 20 minutes. There's some Kleenex in the corner and there's some videos over there if you want them. All right?
All right, videos. All right, bye.
Bye.
Oh, I'm left alone.
Left alone in the massage parlour, I search for a suitable visual stimulus and peruse the most shocking categories.
Oh, this looks good. It says, one of the hottest snuff movies ever made. I shall slot it into the video. I like a bit of teenage rape, mutilation, followed by murder.
Hello there, and welcome to the hot snuff movie. You know, one of the hottest snuffs I know is made with a mixture of menthol and chilli powder. I'll just put a little on the back of my hand like this and snort.
This is crap, it's coming off. Surely this entire scene wasn't constructed simply for a cheap punchline amounting to nothing more than punning on the word snuff.
Yes, it was, and it was a very fine pun indeed.
Not if you have to deliver it, it's not. What? And I don't see you saying hand relief. My mother listens to this program, she's disgusted. It's demeaning.
Yeah, but I do the authoritative voiceover and you're just the minor character.
Shut your mouth, it's only because you're nearer the microphone. Mm. If I move up closer, I can become authoritative too, look.
Now I sound butch and you can sod off.
Give me back my microphone, give it to me.
No,
give me
no,
back
I'm
my
not.
Microphone.
No,
give
you're not having it. Give
no,
me back.
I'm going to swallow it.
Give me it. Suddenly, I find myself taking 7.5 inches of AKG down my throat.
How did you do the voiceover?
How did I do the voiceover? Because I am the producer of this program and I'm powerful. Do you hear me? Roll the tapes. Cue the band. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm a BBC producer with a stopwatch in my hand. I tell everyone at parties and they think I'm very grand. I say, okay, love, let's go for a take and that one's in the can. Woof! But what I fail to realise is I'm an insignificant man.
He's not at all important. He thinks he is, but he's not.
Second verse, same as the first. A little bit higher, a little bit worse. I get my secretary to do all my menial tasks, like booking guests, recording them. I really have to laugh as she's scripting out the programme. The ideas, but I've taken all the credit for years and years and years and years. And third verse, just like the rest, there are lots of holes in my string vest.
Lots of holes in your string vest.
Shut up, it's the only thing that would rhyme. I'd be in front of the mics myself if I had talent on class, instead of reading my name in the Radio Times with a magnifying glass. I'm very, very important. Think the world eats out of my hand, but I keep it very quiet that I'm only on 7 grand.
Only on 7 grand.
So they don't pay much in the BBC.
That is.
But I meet famous people and I get all the paper clips I want.
Crap! You get the papers in hospital radio.
Do they get more than... They
get more money
in hospital radio. Yes, they get more money in hospital radio. That was the penultimate Victor Lewis Smith show, live this week from Testicle Ward D, and brought to you courtesy of the Cockermouth General Infirmary Hospital radio station, where they pay more than they do in the BBC, who hardly pay anything at all because it's an honour to work for them. The show was written by Paul Sparks, Victor Lewis Smith, for very little money, and it's 6 months late, but as they themselves say, you have to admire the BBC, otherwise they sack you. Victor Lewis Smith wrote and performed all the music, did all the voices except for the ones he didn't produce the programme, and after next week's ultimate programme will be buggering off to hospital radio for good, because they pay more money and they understand the special problems of a continuity announcer with chronic dyspepsia and an incontinuity announcer as well. Oh, I've got to go to the wee-wee now.
Do they get more in hospital radio?
Yes.